Now, the HSE has said it's going to renew its push to combat anti-vaccine campaigns as it's emerged that just half of all eligible girls accepted the cervical cancer vaccine in the last academic year. The health service warns it will take years to atone for the damage caused by the campaigns against vaccination, and that they will result in a minimum of 40 deaths. Now, on the line, I have Dr. Brenda Corcoran, the head of the HSE National Immunisation Office, and also we'll be talking to Dr. Anne Hogan, president of the Irish Medical Organisation. Good morning to you both. Brenda, first of all, when did this decline start to happen?
The decline started to happen about 2 years ago. We had had a very successful HPV vaccination program with uptakes of almost 9 in 10 girls getting the vaccine. And we were very hopeful that we would then begin to see some of the very good effects that they've seen in other countries with high uptakes. Unfortunately, the uptake then dropped. The year before last was 72%. And our estimated figure for the year just gone is about 50%. So that's really worrying to everybody involved in cancer prevention.
The implications of a cohort in secondary school who might have taken up the vaccine, but half them did not. What does that mean for that group of girls who become young women in terms of the risk to their health?
Well, we know that every year in Ireland, 90 women die from cervical cancer. About 300 need treatment for invasive cervical cancer, and many of those end up infertile afterwards. And over 6,500 women need hospital treatment for a precancerous form of cancer. We know that the vaccine protects 7 out of 10 of those cancers. So the figures speak for themselves in countries such as Australia and Scotland. They are seeing an impact in these figures. The numbers of girls who are developing precancers are dropping. The numbers of girls developing cancer are dropping. If we don't protect girls with the vaccine, we won't see those figures dropping either.
Now, you must have a theory as to why these numbers should be dropping, because maybe it's down by school. Like in one school, everyone says no because of class leaders who tend to dominate the conversation. Or is it right across the board that about half the girls in every classroom are saying, maybe their parents are saying, no, we're not having it?
Well, parents give consent as to whether the girls can be vaccinated or not. And it is true to say that it is all over the country that the rates have dropped, more so in some parts of the country than others. However,
but do you know whether it's like in a particular area that in one class nobody takes it, or is it like generally speaking about half in every class?
It's generally speaking about half in every class, although in some areas it's slightly more than half and some areas slightly less than half. Although we have to say that in March of this year, when we went back to do the second dose of vaccine, because you do need 2 doses to be fully vaccinated, we offered the vaccine to girls who hadn't taken it in the first dose. And about 1 to 5% of girls came forward for the first dose at that time. So that at least was a move in the right direction.
It was a very small move.
Obviously, absolutely, but a lot more needs to be done.
Now, the kind of campaigning that has been going on about this, I mean, I've interviewed young girls who claim to have had side effects from the vaccine, this incredible fatigue, loss of energy and so on. And they certainly believe that the vaccine was the root cause because it happened so immediately after the vaccine was administered. What do you say to those young women?
There is no doubt that these young girls are very debilitated and have a very serious long-term illness. However, all the scientific evidence from all over the world continues to look at all the evidence to see if there's any connection at all between any long-term illness and the vaccine. And they've looked at the rates of these diseases in vaccinated girls and in unvaccinated girls, and there is no change in the rate. The issue is that these types of conditions have been known for many years. Chronic fatigue syndrome is actually the commonest cause of prolonged school absence and has been for many years. And we know that there are about 10,000 cases of this condition in Ireland. So unfortunately, you would expect to see some girls getting this condition who are vaccinated and some girls getting this condition who are not vaccinated.
But is it that you're saying it's complete coincidence that these things should happen to those girls at that particular point? Or is it that there is some sort of a trigger
No, there is no evidence of a trigger, and it is complete coincidence. These conditions develop in and around girls starting second-level school in young teenagers. It's 3 to 4 times more common in girls, so you would expect to see some cases of these conditions in young girls. There has been no increase in the rate of these conditions in girls who are vaccinated.
How do you intend to combat this? Because, I mean, there has been vaccine denial, if you like to use that phrase, about various vaccines and, you know, scares which have now been disproven and so on about the MMR vaccine. We know in Africa that people sometimes are suspicious of vaccinations because they think it's the West trying to poison them or something like that. So there have been these campaigns before, or these maybe hysterical reactions. How do you combat those?
It's a huge challenge. That the overwhelming scientific evidence and all the national and international bodies all say that vaccination of all types is the best public health intervention we have to protect against serious diseases. So there is no jury in or out. The jury is in. That is the fact. However, it's a huge challenge to get that information across to parents who obviously want to do the best for their daughters. But what we can say is convince parents, is try to convince parents by a number of different means. And what we're doing is engaging with a huge number of different parties. For example, our health colleagues, our health professionals in general practice, pharmacists, any other health professional can help to get this message out, as can any other concerned person. We have 220,000 girls who've already been successfully vaccinated, and they are going to reap the benefits of this vaccine. And what we're trying to do is convince parents that when they are looking at information as to whether to get their daughters vaccinated or not, they should consider the source of that information. Our information is accredited by the World Health Organization, and they have said that the HSE information, that the information the HSE provides is amongst the best in the world. That's a really good recommendation for parents.
Now, part of the reason, I suppose, some people are suspicious or even cynical about health service campaigns. If you remember the people who got contaminated blood from the blood transfusion service, the whole Hep C thing, you know, people may not be rational about this, but in the past there have been reasons for people maybe lacking in the kind of trust they should have in their health service.
I accept that, and I think that makes it all the more important that we on our side have all the scientific facts behind us in order to be able to make these recommendations. And it's not the HSE who makes the recommendations. It's the World Health Organization. It's the National Immunization Advisory Committee, an expert committee in Ireland who's independent from the HSE. And all other national and international expert groups all say the same thing. They all say HPV vaccine is safe, and they all say HPV vaccine is effective. So it's up to us to try to convince parents to get this vaccine for their daughters.
Please ask the HSE doctor if parents who were worried but have now changed their minds will be able to have their daughters included in next year's school vaccination.
Yes, older girls in school can still get the vaccine. They should contact the HSE school vaccination teams when they come into school from September of this year.
Give the vaccine to boys if girls are not taking it. Boys are more promiscuous and won't spread the HPV to the girls. Why hit the girls all the time? They have more hormones to deal with at that age.
Yes, that's a very good point. And some countries are vaccinating boys, such as Australia. And you may be aware that HICWA have been asked by the Department of Health to look at the cost effectiveness of introducing the vaccine to boys. Their report won't be out until the end of next year. So in the interim, the best protection we have is to get as many girls vaccinated.
Another one: denying your daughter these vaccines is akin to playing Russian roulette with their lives. Parents should be ashamed. That's from Chris in Waterford. But you can kind of understand, you know, if people are, as you would have it, ill-informed, the last thing any parent would like to feel is that they've done their child some harm.
Absolutely. And what we can say, hand on heart, based on all the scientific evidence, is that it is much better to provide the vaccine to your daughter. That will give her the benefit from the vaccine, and she will then be protected from this horrendous disease. Cervical cancer is absolutely horrendous, and even treatments for pre-cancer can be very long-lasting and can result in infertility. That's something that nobody wants for their daughter.
Following our conversation, a bit of a pushback from some of the listeners. There are big questions to be answered about side effects from these vaccines, says one. Another one says, they need to admit there's a problem. No way they'll inject my daughter. What do you say to those kind of listeners?
We certainly admit there is a problem. There is no doubt about that. In relation to the side effects, we know from the evidence from all over the world, and that's looking at millions and millions of doses of this vaccine that have been given. 270,000 doses of this vaccine have been given in Ireland, worldwide, and over 690,000 in Ireland. And in relation to side effects, the side effects that have been seen that have been caused by the vaccine are local side effects, soreness, redness after the injection. Some girls may faint. Some girls may have nausea or pain in the arm. But that they are the most common side effects, and those side effects will pass in a day or two. And they are much, much less significant compared to the horrendous impact of cervical cancer.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Brenda Corcoran, the head of the HSE National Immunization Office. Dr. Anne Hogan, the president of the Irish Medical Organization, has been listening to that conversation. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What are your members finding in their surgeries? What are parents asking? And are they coming across these teenagers who appear to have side effects from the vaccine?
Well, I think, you know, doctors are in favour of the HPV vaccine by and large. And the IMO, in fact, has passed motions at its AGM supporting the introduction of the vaccine for boys as well, because of the cancers of the head and neck in boys that it could prevent, or in men rather, that it could prevent in later life. So doctors generally are very much in favour of the
HPV. You've said by and large, and you've said generally.
Well, no, I think doctors, I say 99.9%.
Yeah, I was just wondering, do you have members who would be saying to parents, for God's sake, don't get your child vaccinated?
I haven't met any such doctors.
Now, what about those who would come in looking for help because they feel that they are suffering from a vaccine side effect?
Well, again, doctors would be very familiar with people suffering from the side effects. Generally, the mild side effects that Brenda was talking about, the short-lived ones that last for a day or two. When people come in complaining of longer-term side effects, doctors are well aware that the HPV vaccine, that there's no scientific proof that the HPV vaccine is associated with any long-term conditions. They will have been meeting people with these type of chronic fatigue syndrome symptoms for a long number of years. It is common in adolescent girls. It also occurs in adolescent boys.
And do we know what causes that?
Well, this is the problem. We don't know. It is a poorly understood condition. It has existed. We've known of cases going back for a long, long time. But it's poorly understood. And I think that's one of the reasons why people tend to associate it, because it occurs at a similar time to when the vaccine is given. There is a powerful motivating factor to make you think, well, it must have been the vaccine that caused this. But in fact, the evidence is that there is no increased incidence in vaccinated girls over unvaccinated girls, and that the incidence hasn't changed since the vaccine was introduced.
Where do you think the reluctance is coming from? Is this coming from social media, where people are getting first-hand anecdotal experience, which then goes viral throughout the school population?
Well, I suppose social media does spread information much faster than more traditional methods. And we don't always know how links are coming up. Say you go on Facebook or on Twitter and a link comes up and you follow it, and suddenly you're into all this information, which may or may not be valid. And sometimes you can get links to very good evidence-based information, and sometimes you get links to stuff that is really not very reliable at all. And it's very hard to combat that, because we wouldn't always be aware of where all that is coming from. And I think it behoves doctors in particular to supply the good, valid, science-based information to people as far as they can.
I don't know if you remember,
works.
And some years ago, there was a case where a lot of young women were going into what's called toxic shock. And this was being blamed on tampons.
Yes.
And it turned out to be complete mass hysteria.
Yeah, that's quite a while ago.
I just remember it because I'm wondering to what extent, you know, the invasive nature of a vaccine can actually trigger something, you know, psychological, not physical, you know, and bring about this chronic fatigue.
Well, for instance, we know that if you give any injection to girls and boys in adolescence, they're more likely to faint after it than if you give the same injection to younger children.
Yeah.
We know that. So that's a very obvious...
And that's not to do with the physiology, that's to do with the mentality, is it?
Well, it's to do, I suppose, with their stage in life. It occurs a bit in boys and certainly in girls. But we give vaccines in primary schools to children in junior infants and they very, very, very rarely faint. Rarely. Whereas it's quite common in the adolescent group, in the boys and the girls, for them to faint.
Yeah. A question here, maybe Brenda, I don't know if she's still on the line or not, but why not change the age at which the vaccine is given, therefore, if the teenagers are vulnerable to this kind of thing? Brenda?
The issue with that is, yes, you're right, Pat, the vaccine does work best if it's given to young girls and young boys. It's licensed from the age of 9, and it's really a logistical issue in as much as if we have to go into primary schools, there are over 3,000 of those in the country, and all girls would need 2 doses. So logistically, that will be a lot more work and may not be as feasible as going into the second level schools. There's only 560 of those with girls only. So it's a practical fact, and most other countries in Western Europe give the vaccine to girls in and around 11 to 13.
My daughter's 25, says another, has never been offered the vaccine. Is it available to her? That's from Christine. I presume, Anne, that you could do it as private doctors. You could make it available. But Brenda, is it available through the HSE?
It's only available through the HSE as part of a school-based program. So somebody outside school who's left school would not be able to get it.
And Anne, do you have people coming in looking for the vaccine? Who'd be not
eligible for the school program? We occasionally get queries from girls who were left school before the school program started. And certainly in the last year, I suppose since the uptake dropped, we've had queries from older girls who are still attending school to get the vaccine. And we would be giving the vaccine to those girls who are still in the school.
Hi, Pat. I'm 27. I've noticed that so many of my friends and friends of friends have had to go on for further treatment after getting the smear test done. It's an extremely stressful and worrying time for them. I would definitely recommend younger girls getting the vaccine. You don't know how important the vaccine is until you get to our age. That's from a texter who doesn't give me either her name or her age. This one here. While in hospital for cancer treatment, I met a woman who died ultimately from cervical cancer. Hearing people being anti-HPV vaccine makes me so angry. No one should ever take the chance of their child getting cancer, any cancer. If there is a vaccine, please go get it. The cause for cervical cancer, is it sexual promiscuity, Anne?
Well, it is the HPV virus causes cancer of the cervix eventually, and HPV can be transmitted by sexual contact, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be one
not necessarily promiscuity, it's contact.
Yeah. I think the interesting question is mandatory vaccination programs. Does any government have the right to enforce these on a population? Well, you don't, do you, Brenda?
Mandatory vaccination is not something that's being considered here. We have, to date, had very high rates through voluntary vaccination, and I don't see that's the road we would ever go down. However, it's obviously in the public health interest that as many girls are vaccinated to protect them from this terrible disease.
Yeah. An example, my sister survived cervical cancer very recently, but as a result was rendered infertile from the awful surgery required to save her life, all before the chance to have kids. I will be giving my young daughter this vaccine to save her from that awful trauma. Easy to talk about vaccine risks, but clearly these people haven't witnessed the cancer treatment. Thanks to your speaker, each parent has the choice. So good luck on your decisions. Go read real, trustworthy, peer-reviewed research cancer data and then decide. Don't let some traditional old GP change your mind against it. Now, the cost to get the HPV vaccine from my GP in Drogheda for my older daughter who's left school is between €300 and €400. The practice told me the vaccine had to be ordered in for my daughter specially. That's quite a deterrent. Anne, is that the price?
The vaccine is very expensive, yes.
Yeah. And the HSE, Brenda, there's no way that... can someone on a medical card, for example, or on a low income get it at a lesser price?
No, the only way of the anyone getting it through the HSE programme is a universal programme for all girls in school. And that's based on the fact that it's best to give the vaccine to girls as young as possible, which is why the routine programme is for first years and those who've missed out. And in the last 2 years, obviously, there are girls who've missed out. But up to that, we had uptakes of over 85, 87%. So most girls are protected. So it's a small number in second and third year now, possibly up to maybe 20,000 girls who've missed out. They're still eligible to get the vaccine and contact the vaccination teams in September.
So get it in school because it'll certainly cost you nothing compared to €300 or €400. This one, my daughter was one of the 220,000 vaccinated. She had no health issues pre-vaccine, felt unwell after and collapsed. She has never recovered. Her life ruined, also family life ruined. What, once again, Brenda, do you say to people like that?
Obviously, that's very distressing for the girl and for her family. And I think we need to make sure that there are proper supports in place through her own GP and then through whatever specialist care that she needs. However, any of the reports that have come in to our regulator, they all feed into the European Medicines Regulator and thereafter to the World Health Organization. And each of those organizations has looked at all the details of each of these cases and said there is no link between these conditions and the vaccine.
On that note, Dr. Brenda Corcoran, Head of HSE National Immunization Office, and Anne Hogan, IMO President, thank you both very much for joining us.